This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح للأمة وكشف الغمة وتركنا على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فعليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد to begin by praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, His family, His companions, and those that follow until the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's no secret, or I would hope it's no secret, that Ramadan is right around the corner. And I'm not going to give a khutbah about Ramadan because I know that for the next 5 weeks you'll hear khutbahs about Ramadan. But I'll give a khutbah and I'll talk about something that I feel like is pertinent to having a successful Ramadan and in fact having a successful life as a whole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about success and realize that success in dunya is not necessarily equal to success in akhirah. But the habits that cause people to be successful in this world are the same habits that if you put a spiritual emphasis on them, cause people to be successful in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Verily the believers have succeeded. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the ones who have quiet, who have humility, internal silence and awe whenever they are in their prayers. They're focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're focused on that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting. Allah azza wa jal does not talk about az-zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about fasting. Allah does not talk about some of arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ And those who, when it comes to idle speech, wasted speech, useless, meaningless talk, they forbid themselves from useless talk, from a level. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to those who are the zakati fa'ilun, those who pay their zakat, and so on and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the pillars of our faith and the pillars of our practice. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about al-lagu here, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ Al-Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that there is a reason why Allah did not say those who don't backbite, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ الْغِيبَةِ or وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ those who forbid themselves from lying, those who forbid themselves from slander. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose al-lagu. And al-lagu is something that's neutral in its nature. It's that amount of leisure time, that time that you're not necessarily working and you're not necessarily busy, you can do with that time whatever you please. And you can do with that speech whatever you please. Right? So you're not talking about work, you're not talking about deen, you're not in salah, you're sitting around and you're in a gathering and you can talk about anything. You're driving and you have some free time and you can do anything. What you choose to do with that time and what you choose to do with that speech is precious.
And so Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a level which is neutral. It's not necessarily always haram, because sometimes you can talk about things that have no connection to religion. Sometimes you can talk about, you know, sports, you can talk about whatever it is, as long as it's not haram. You can talk about those things. But when it becomes excessive, you destroy yourself. And he said, Allah chose that which is neutral, because if you cut a level, you naturally cut backbiting, you naturally cut the lying, you naturally cut the gossip, you naturally cut the talking down to people, you naturally cut the mockery and the sukhriya and all the other things that we waste our speech with. If you can learn to manage that idle speech, that free time, and that free speech that you have, then so many good things can happen. And this is, you know, this ayah is particularly talking about the tongue, obviously, when it's talking about meaningless things. But some of the mufassirin even broadened it. They said it's not just the tongue. This is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that's neutral. And in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike Surah Al-Ma'arij, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ, those, Allah's talking about the external performance, right? Those who are making sure they're praying their prayers on time and so on and so forth, right? They're praying their prayers on time and they're observing it properly. Here, Allah is emphasizing the inner quality of that person, what that person's really made of, because that person has khushu'. That person is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who's busy with the Creator is too busy for the creation. The one who's busy with Al-Khaliq, with the Creator, doesn't waste his time with the Khaliq, doesn't waste his time with the creation. And what you'll find is that a lot of the reasons why we're unable to spiritually progress in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan is because of wasted time and wasted talk. We could be doing so much better with the time that's given to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get bored of us, even though Allah doesn't need us. But we get bored sometimes, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find people that are trying to kill time. Right? And I don't want, you know, I don't have anything to do right now. Let me find something to do. If we don't have our internet, then we get depressed. You know, ask yourself seriously. In this day and age, and some of us lived in an age when internet first came, I still have an AOL address, I know when the internet first came out, right? Ask yourself right now, if you had a choice between your electricity going out for an hour or your internet going out for an hour, which one would you choose? A lot of times people would say they'd rather the electricity go out, because then at least I can still keep on, you know, monitoring this and monitoring that, checking my email, going through my social networking sites and so on and so forth. Because people now have developed such an emotional dependency on those things that they get depressed when they don't have internet. It's actual depression. I'm in a clinic or whatever it is, and I'm waiting for something, and if I have a weak signal, I'm frustrated. I'm loading up pages at 1-2 minutes, whatever, how long it takes, because I need to have something to stimulate me right now. I'm bored. And obviously, there have been many links between increased internet usage and clinical depression. Right? Many studied links between them, because it is depressing. I don't know how to engage myself anymore, engage my mind, engage my heart, engage myself spiritually anymore without being connected to the world. I don't know what to do anymore. You know why? Because you can't have khushu' with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. You're so busy with all these things, you don't have time for a tadabbur with tafakkur and contemplation and thinking anymore. And so when we read about the Sahaba in Ramadan, and we read about the Salaf in Ramadan, for example, and you say Imam al-Shafi'i used to read the Qur'an 60 times in the month of Ramadan, you go, that's not even possible. You mock it. Right? You say, that's impossible. Right? Or Qatada rahimahullah, once a day in Ramadan. Right? Bukhari, once a night, once a day, every in the last 10 days. That's impossible. That's not true. Right? You'll deny authentic ahadith, authentic narrations. Doesn't make sense. No way that they were making use of their time like that. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one gathering, would say, you know, when Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says he would make istighfar over 100 times in one gathering. And it wasn't just astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Said he would say, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. And it's not like the Prophet ﷺ wasn't talking about anything else. But the Prophet ﷺ was using every free moment that he had. Right? When he wasn't saying something to the Sahaba, He was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, he was making use of that neutral time. That time that could be used for so many different things. He used it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was asking Allah, ironically, even for forgiveness, although the Prophet didn't need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now you have all of these different things that we have today, the iPad, the iPhone, whatever it is, you know, we have iPhone app, pretty soon we might have, iPray might actually become iPray. You never know what will happen to all these applications and things of that sort. You're talking about, they're talking about the generation of kids that are being babysitted by iPads, and I guess we're all guilty of it, right? Sometimes we want to keep our kids quiet, give them the iPad. You know, overstimulation and not knowing what to do with ourselves when we don't have those things. And that's really dangerous to our spirituality. That's dangerous to our iman. Because just as Allah is telling us about al-falah, about success, of the success of the believer's lives primarily in two things. Number one, his khushu', his connection to the Creator, and his not wasting his time with the creation. You know, and so when you reverse that equation, something detrimental can happen to your spirituality and your thought and your productivity. Your productivity. You know, your productivity levels go down so much. And subhanAllah, I hate quoting philosophers. I really do, because a lot of times now we quote philosophers more than we quote the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's a very powerful saying, you know, and it's actually by Socrates, and it's very Islamically appropriate too. And he said, describing the different types of minds, you know, just describing the different levels of productivity, right? He said that weak minds discuss people. Average minds discuss events. Strong minds discuss ideas. Weak minds discuss people. Average minds discuss events. And strong minds discuss ideas. And I want you to really think about this. Now, from an Islamic perspective, you can even further break that down. And you can say, what type of people are you discussing? Right? So people that discuss people, what type of people are you discussing? And you know, subhanAllah, you know, this morning I just happened to, when I was reading the news, and I was reading about, you know, Aaron Hernandez, the football player that's a murderer, or accused of murder, whatever it is, and the people that were cheering him on, his fans that were cheering him on as he was driving to the courtroom, crying, trying to get a glimpse of him and take a picture with him. I thought to myself, subhanAllah, these people, you know, what is it? Right? What is it? You know, that people have reduced themselves emotionally even to being dependent upon sports figures and celebrities and things of that sort. If you don't think that's the situation with many of our youth, you're wrong. Where it's an emotional, spiritual, mental dependence upon these people. I guarantee you that from our youth, and from ourselves, we might get more depressed if our favorite athlete got injured than 600 people being killed in Syria. And then go back to the hadith of the Messenger ﷺ, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. No, one of you truly has faith, believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And then you talk about that situation. That's not just a crisis of, you know, of minor sorts. That's a crisis of iman. That's a crisis of humanity. My being a human being at that point. That bothers me even more because I'm so obsessed with the lives of other people. And the type of people that I'm obsessed with are not even, you know, are not even the people that are going to set a moral example for me. Right? So what type of people do you discuss? And you'll often find that people will sit around and talk about people's faults, for example, talk about people's shortcomings. And that's why people love reality TV. You know? Look at the failures of everybody else's life. Look at what these people are going through. You know, so you can ignore your own flaws, ignore your own failures. And we do that in our gatherings sometimes too, right? Talking about everybody else, not talking about ourselves, not focusing on ourselves. And subhanAllah, you look at, you know, successful people in this world. The only time they discuss people, because we discuss people too. We discuss the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We discuss the companions. We also discuss people. The only time successful people discuss people and follow people is when they want to emulate their success. That's it. Right? They're not sitting around wasting time. I guarantee you the CEOs that we have in the world that are multimillionaires are not sitting around wasting time on Facebook monitoring everybody else's meals and what they ate and what this person's favorite song is. They're not wasting time on that stuff. Nor are they wasting time talking about, did you hear about what happened to that person, what happened to that person. When they study people who are successful in a worldly sense so they can emulate their success. Likewise, as believers, the only times we discuss people is when we want to emulate their success. And that's why even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the biographies of people in the Qur'an, Allah doesn't waste our time with the minor details. Allah tells us what we need to know about people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the reasons why they were successful. And when Allah tells us about people that failed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why they failed. He wants us to pay attention to that. It's not just random details. You know, many of you, and I hope all of us would read Surah Al-Kahf today, as is the Sunnah, right, on Fridays. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go into the heights and ages of the people of the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell you about where exactly the cave was. And you know, when they got hungry one night or when they got thirsty. Allah doesn't tell us any of that. The only thing Allah tells us is that they were a group of youth in the humfitya. Right? Amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda. They believed in their Lord and we increased them in guidance. And what does Allah say? People will waste their time. سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Right? People will discuss what? How many were they? Which number was the dog? They'll discuss all of these different things. And it's not relevant. Allah already gives us what's necessary for us to be successful, to understand that there was a group of youth that treasured their faith so much that they had to go through that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the supernatural to work in their favor because of their tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't have all the random details. We don't have storytelling in the Qur'an with this person's age was this and this person's age was that. Because even when we discuss those people, what is it about those people? And so we need to ask ourselves, when we discuss people in this world, what are we discussing about them? When we discuss the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we discuss the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he is the epitome of success. You study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are studying the most successful man that's ever existed, the most successful of creation. That's why we study him. We study him to increase our own success, to emulate him. It's not to fantasize about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And the Sahaba understood that. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Whoever used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's dead. It wasn't about him. "Man kana ya'budu Allah." It was about the message that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought and how he embodied that message. And when we study the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's so that we can embody that message the way that he did alayhi salatu wasalam. It wasn't an emotional fantasy. It's trying to be like him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And you'll see if your attachment to the Prophet does not go beyond an emotional attachment, it's worthless. It's worthless. That's Christianizing the faith. Right? Have as strong of an emotional attachment as you want, but you're not trying to emulate him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even then, that could be a proof against you, a hujjah against you on the Day of Judgment. Then he said again that average minds discuss events. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, generally speaking, والسلام, that from min husni Islam al-mar'i, from the goodness of a person's Islam, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, is his abandoning that which does not concern him. That is the goodness of, you want to know how sound your Islam is? You look at how you abandon that which doesn't concern you, that which is of no benefit to you whatsoever. And if you really think about this, again, a person who is busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have time to worry about other things. You know, when Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah used to quote this hadith, he used to say, "Min alamat i'radu Allah ta'ala 'an al-'abd." One of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has abandoned a person is whenever, and yashghuluhu fi ma la ya'ni, is whenever that person becomes obsessed with things that are of no benefit to him and of no use and no relevance to him. That's a very bad sign. That's a sign that this connection is severed, so you're trying to look for other things to fill that void. That's not a good sign about ourselves. And again, strong minds discuss ideas. And these ideas, for the believer, as far as the believer is concerned, is how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have a bird in front of me, there's a way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that bird. If I have a date in my hand and the adhan is about to be made, that's an idea that I have. How can I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that date? There's a brother there. I can help him break his fast. If I have 20 minutes of driving to work, I have an idea. I think about how I can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using this 20 minutes. If I have an opportunity in front of me to do da'wah, I think about how I can use this opportunity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not kill time. Because time is your best friend, especially in Ramadan. Time is your best friend. Use that time. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not pass until time is shrunk. Time actually shrinks. This is an authentic hadith in Ahmad. Time will actually shrink. A year will be like a month will be like a week will be like a day will be like an hour will be like burning grass. Just burning very, very, very quick. Time is already shrunk, has already shrunk. And all of these tools of productivity that are supposed to make us more productive have actually become tools to make us less productive. SubhanAllah. I mean, think about these things can be used for our greatest benefit. That computer that you have, if you're thinking ideas, that computer, that laptop, could be used for you to enhance your knowledge, to learn more about the deen. Right? That cell phone that you have, that iPhone that you have, could be used so that you can keep yourself more productive on your tasks and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now those same things that are supposed to be tools of productivity have become tools of destruction. Because we use them to get involved in things that don't benefit us and that are meaningless to us. And the believer always thinks how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah beautifully said, إِذَا الْمَرْءُ كَانَتْ لَهُ فِكْرًا فَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عِبْرًا. When a person is thinking deeply about something, when a person is engrossed in a thought, everything around him lends itself to that thought. And you look at successful businessmen, they're always thinking about their business. Sometimes in a way that's unhealthy, because some of you might be thinking about your business right now. Right? You think about a person who's an athlete, they're always thinking about enhancing their skills. You think about a person who's obsessed with their education, they're always concerned with their education. It never leaves their mind. Right? It never leaves their mind. It doesn't just disappear. And so the fluctuation that exists with our faith sometimes is because we've learned to connect and disconnect completely. And if you're able to disconnect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, that means that the connection was not sound in the first place. Right? The connection was not actually sound in the first place. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us, Al-Iman yazidu wa yanqus. Faith does increase and decrease. But when it comes to the end of times, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said that whenever the times, as times come to an end, the Prophet ﷺ said that a person will go to sleep. يُمْسِرْ رَجُلْ مُؤْمِنًا. A person will go to sleep a believer. وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And then you wake up a disbeliever. There's a complete void of faith all of a sudden. Complete disengagement to a point that you disengage faith as a whole. Oh, or he would wake up. يُصْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. Or he'd wake up a believer, and throughout the day somehow he'd lose his faith completely. He'd lose his faith completely. And so that's the last time that you know, the last place and time and setting that you want that to happen is Ramadan, is the day of Ramadan. Keep yourself engaged throughout the day. Have a regimen for yourself. And don't waste your time, especially in Ramadan. And watch the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in your life and mine bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to have productive lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us Ramadan and to allow us to be productive in Ramadan and to forgive us in Ramadan for all of our previous sins. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to, for a moment, think about this beautiful hadith from Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, where he says that one time we were walking with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet ﷺ took us to a mountain by the name of Jumdan. And this mountain, Jumdan, comes from the word Jamad, which means frozen. The reason why the mountain on the outskirts of Mecca is called Jumdan is because it is all by itself. It's a mountain that stands by itself and there are no other mountains around it. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet ﷺ took us to that mountain. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, Sirru, walk fast. Sabaq al-mufarridun, sabaq al-mufarridun, sabaq al-mufarridun. And the meaning of that hadith is that the loners, al-mufarrid, tharid with the dal, is one who's single. Now it's not talking about singles in terms of marital status. The loners, sabaq al-mufarridun. The loners have surpassed all. The loners have surpassed all. The loners have surpassed all. And the Sahaba didn't know what the Prophet ﷺ was talking about. So they asked Rasulullah ﷺ, who are these mufarridun? Who are these people? Because the Prophet ﷺ was likening these people to this mountain. This mountain. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. Those who remember Allah frequently from the men and from the women. They're frequently remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're frequently engaged in every single aspect with their minds, with their hearts, with their tongues, with their lips. They're always engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings you, dear brothers and sisters, emotional stability, success, productivity. And you know what Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who's the narrator of this hadith, and now he says in his sharh, he says that in Abu Hurairah was known to say subhanAllah, to do tasbih 12,000 times a day. 12,000 times a day after he heard those words from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Nawawi narrates in Sharh Sahih Muslim, because the hadith is a Muslim. How do you even do that? It's actually possible. I don't do it, I'm not claiming to do it, but it is humanly possible. And subhanAllah, when you find yourself capitalizing on that time, you know, reading an ikhlas, qul huwallahu ahad, just three times. You know, Rasulullah ﷺ saying that that's equivalent to the reward of reading the entire Qur'an. Who amongst us is not capable of doing that? Who amongst us is not capable of taking just a few moments, 20 minutes of the day, to do our afkar as-salah, to do our morning remembrances, and then do our evening remembrances later on? But more importantly than that, dear brothers and sisters, we'll find that we are capable. And I guarantee you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us the same minds and the same hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an empty space. How you choose to fill that space is your choice. All of us memorize the equivalent of the Qur'an. All of us do. Whether it's in movie titles, whether it's in cricket stats or football stats or whatever it is, we all memorize the equivalent of the entire Qur'an in our minds. I guarantee you. We all do. All of us have filled our minds with something. But what you have to ask yourself is, on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the limbs to when He causes the limbs to speak, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings out all of these things, is it something that I want to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? Is it something that I'm proud of? Have I really made the best usage of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? Have I really made the best usage of the memory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? Have I really made the best usage of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? Because, you know, as Imam Ghazali rahimahullah said, that every single breath is a precious jewel. Every single one of them. And once it's gone, once that breath is gone, the opportunity is gone too. It's never coming back. Every one of your breaths is gone. You know, you've wasted a moment. How did you use that moment? And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, and the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, and the four questions that He will ask in the authentic hadith of the Tirmidhi from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as the Prophet ﷺ says, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ يُسْأَلُ عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَثْنَى. He'll be asked about his years, the number of years that he lived. And in the number of years, the number of months, the number of weeks, the number of days, the number of hours, the number of minutes, the number of seconds, how did you use that? How did you use that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we'll find that when we look at the lives of the Salaf, they teach us productivity. Because most of the great scholars of the past died before the age of 40 years old. And they left behind, they still live today through their legacies. They still live today through their productivity. A person like Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, 39 years old when he passed away, lives through his books. He's alive through his books, subhanAllah. a person like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and by the way, neither Nawawi or Ibn Taymiyyah ever got married, lives through his books. Not because they didn't want to get married, they just were, subhanAllah, they were young people, they never got the chance. Lives through his books, lives through that legacy. And I have to ask myself, with the time that Allah has given to me, do I have anything that will outlive me? Do I have anything that will continue to benefit me after I pass away? Do I have anything that I would be proud of on the Day of Judgment to show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an accomplishment? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from al-dhakirin Allah kathiran wa dhakirat, those who remember Allah frequently from the men and from the women. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for the blessings that He has given to us that we did not make use of. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this Ramadan we come to a greater appreciation of His blessings and learn to use those blessings in a more appropriate way. Allahumma ameen. Allahumma khir al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat wal-muslimin wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibu da'wat. Allahumma khir lana warhamna wa'afu anna wa la tu'adibna. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم أصلح أحوال إخواننا المنكوبين في كل مكان. اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء الدين. اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا من بينهم سالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على النعمة يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.